don't ever move a muscle.
Never move again.
Because we're stuck right here.
Never starts on the one. Welcome to the podcast for empathy and imagination. This is episode 24. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Drew.
Hey, my name is Drew Clark. Welcome. I got with me my friend here.
My name is Aubrey Cloutier.
Looking real good.
And here we are in the studios.
In Richmond, California. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast for Empathy and Imagination.
Inferno Studios here, Richmond, California.
I like it. It's pretty true. He's always here, you know.
True dat.
True dat.
So, I heard rumors. I did hear some rumors.
What rumors do you have?
Well, I heard rumors that there's a gradient update.
Oh, there is.
Is that a true rumor?
It's a true rumor. I would love to sing it in with you because we're always good at that. Would you sing me in?
Gradient update.
So this week's gradient update is brought to you by Final Corp. And Final Corp, it'll be fine. Finally, a company for all your needs.
Final Corp.
So gradient update is... So I get a call yesterday from Colby, our friendly neighborhood commercial real estate broker.
Right.
And he says, hey, Drew. Like, and it's funny because when he uses that tone, I'm like nervous because it like could be that he has weird good news or weird bad news, but he just has that right down the middle. So you're just like, I can't tell, you know.
Right.
Drew. So, you know, right. Who knows? And he's
could
like,
go either way.
So it's really complicated, and I know I've been explained a lot of possibly even boring to listen to details about how this all goes, although I do think some of our listeners are interested in the details of how this goes. So it's like we're now in communication with the new management company for this series of warehouses. The owner, as of yesterday...
Which, the same warehouse you were looking at last time?
Same. It's the same one, 999... West Cutting. Yeah. So 2 weeks ago, they're like, dude, we like you so much that we want to offer you a bigger space for the same price with a grassy knoll on the front at the front of the building.
Grass is in the front of the building?
And there, we would have that as our space. So we'd have a little, you know, outdoor spot.
Yeah. How hard did your dick get?
I was like, that's exactly what we want,
and
it's way cooler, and I just got to make sure that the physical mechanics of where the utilities are, I mean, like, there are certain limitations of utilities. Like, we need a 2-inch water pipe.
Certain infrastructure in certain places.
Yeah. You can't just go anywhere. Yeah.
So, did they have that?
I still don't know.
You still don't know.
I do know that they have that in the other space that's there. So
stay tuned.
Regardless, it's like still a possibility. So just yesterday, the management company finally got a conversation about an offer to the owner a month after we set a letter of interest and intent. A month is when they finally let the owner of the building know. And so,
from the beginning of your interest in the building?
Yes, from the day we went there and we sent the letter with the official letterhead about interest and just wanting to know what they needed to know.
You're just illustrating the bureaucracy there?
It's an illustration of bureaucracy, but there's some other energy. It's so weird because every time we speak to the management company, they're like, we want you, you're the best. You're basically, didn't you sign it yet? Oh my gosh, you haven't? And you're like,
they're just blowing smoke up your ass?
What? I can't tell.
You can't tell.
I can't tell. So when I apply empathy and imagination to the situation, it's like there's probably really busy people who are trying to make money and they spend their time doing that, and the processes by which I would make them money is so narrow that it would be not that much, and it would be, it's a big maybe. So they're probably working on bigger deals that are better, spending more time on that, because our, it's like, not that we're not rich, you know, it's a small, it's a micro startup, you know.
Why would they offer you the better place then?
Exactly, right? And I like your question there, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they actually do want us. I think that they're impressed with our readiness and you know, content and awards and team and stuff. And they're still figuring out the relationship with the owner. That's probably what's happening.
Have you met the owner?
No. But Colby has called the owner many times and left many messages. And one day he called on a different phone number and the owner picked up the phone. And Colby said, "Hey, so anyway, I've got a client here, a real serious client who's going to do ready right now to pay you money for 10 years probably. How about that?" And he was like, "Sorry, I'm busy right now. I'll have to call you right back."
I'm on the courts.
Well, he was in the office. This is in the office. I know it was a landline, right?
Yeah, it's a joke. Oh.
So he doesn't call Colby back.
Of course.
And then Colby calls him back and writes another email, no response.
Huh.
And this goes on for a month. A whole month.
He could be on vacation. He could be busy.
Could be on vacation. Could be. Definitely is busy.
Couple things in the hopper.
Yeah, he's also got bigger fish to fry, probably, is the thing.
Yeah.
Not that big of a fish. Small fish. Entry level. So, yeah, so the quest goes on, and so there's some story that by maybe Monday, they would have something to say about if we can do this or not. So, yeah, you know, it's like cool. five weeks in, we may have some info. So stay tuned for episode 25.
So you'll know Monday. Maybe.
Could be Wednesday.
Could be another month.
Could be a different month, yeah. And there's no other thing to do. We call every day.
Huh. Do you think that you calling any day has an effect on their perception? Or
the
their
gracious and wise Colby does all the calling.
Yeah. Do you think it expedites matters or potentially slows things down?
I think that I trust Colby's experience in this. And he says, the squeaky wheel, man. Mm. The squeaky wheel.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay. That's what he thinks. I don't think they're annoyed and therefore annoying us. I don't estimate that. I think it's like they just don't understand our level of seriousness or have just way bigger things that they're doing or more personal things that they're doing. Hmm. So that's basically, unless there's any questions, that's basically the gradient update.
Cool. Sounds like some question marks and some good news.
Seems like it. Gradient update. So I have a question. So, I want to ask you about how your week's been, how you've been doing, what's going on with you?
Week has been pretty busy with work and cleaning out some stuff out of my apartment, donating stuff.
Cool.
Since I have to move out.
When is that? When do you have to move out?
By September 1st. And so, yeah, just been doing those things. Working and cleaning. And then that's it. Sleeping, I guess, too.
Eating some food,
some probably. Other things in there.
Yeah. All right. Do you care to share about how it's been? Like, what, how it's felt?
You know, it feels pretty, I guess, lonely. I mean, Shasta Lake was fun, but you know, I don't really know those people that well. So it's hard to relax fully.
Mm-hmm. In a new environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta learn protocols first.
Right, right, right. Which was great. I mean, we went to...
Yeah, it was great.
That's a little story to tell. It was our trip.
Yeah, I went to Shasta Lake. Lake Shasta. And what's the location?
We were at Salt Creek Resort.
Salt Creek.
Yeah.
Near the train tracks. And there was a rope swing. Lake. Yeah, it's fun.
It was like we drove up in Aubrey's car and brought our hammocks. And it was my brother's birthday party. There was assorted family members and friends from his past. It was fun. They were an interesting bunch. And they really loved Aubrey. It was the first time meeting him. And yeah, we splashed in the water and had some laughs, played a bunch of music.
Yeah, we had some of that's music. On film too.
Did we get some of that?
Somebody did.
Oh, that's cool. Christine had a camera. I'll ask her. Yeah. That's right. She was filming us.
We had our red headlamps on playing guitars.
Yes, red headlamps. I just picture a lamp on the back of my head. It's kind of a cool video.
It's like, yeah, that's cool.
I mean, we were rocking it.
That's a good video. Just wear some headlamps all over your body.
Strap them on.
LEDs. Let's play in the dark.
It'd be cool if the audience could see the guitar, too, so maybe a couple on the guitar.
LED strings. I guess you could maybe do it with, yeah, that'd be weird. Wind the string around LEDs. Mm-hmm. Tiny, tiny LEDs. One on each fret, on each string. So you don't have any frets. The frets are on the string, and they're lights.
Whoa. I get it. The frets are on the string. Woo, that's weird. I don't know if I could do, because the slide would be and hard.
It's interesting. It could show you, I mean, a version of this already exists, but it can show you patterns, you know, so you could learn on it too. It could instruct you on how to do scales and stuff.
That would be cool.
And chords, just by lighting up the frets.
Mm-hmm.
Or the strings. Cool. The fret points on the strings. And really there'd be a light where each note is. That's all. It wouldn't really be frets, because frets are just notes, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, in between is...
Frets a specific thing.
Yeah. I love playing with frets. I mean, I tried fretless. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little tough.
I don't know if I'm that good. But, okay, so the cool trip we had was fun, mm-hmm. and you had a good time, and you couldn't fully relax because it was a totally new crowd, and I agree. That's the same thing with me. And you were sharing that the experience of moving has some loneliness. Anything else there? Is that kind of, that's about
it? Yeah, that's, you know, it's like, I'm just sick of moving.
Yeah.
The whole process sucks.
Mm.
Or, you know, it's like just tedious, you know, going around and looking at places.
Yeah, totally.
You know, just time, a time sink.
Yeah. Money sink, energy sink.
Yeah.
I bet the audience may be curious about if there's a story of the why.
Oh, well, I live with two roommates. And they're a couple. And they're reaching a point where I think they want to, like, get more serious with their life. And maybe have kids and stuff. And so they want to live together, just the two of them.
Hmm.
I mean, it's tough living with three people.
Yeah. Well, it's a
two-bedroom.
Yeah, two-bedroom, small place. Okay, cool. Anything else there?
That's it. All that swimming, I think I messed up my ankle. All that treading water.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like you wore out a joint or something?
Something. Or fixed something that's hurting. It's hurting because it's fixed. You know, something.
Huh.
I haven't figured it out yet, but...
That's funny, Mike.
I think it's from all that swimming.
There's this pain in my left back that it makes it hurt to take deep breaths. It's like pretty painful. It's still like a...
When did it start?
Yesterday. Which was weird. Like, after work, maybe I lifted something weird. Because if I breathe in my belly, like, I'm vocalizing, like, it doesn't hurt at all. So it's something, some muscle in my upper back that's, like, inflated with pain or something. And I don't know how it occurred, but I'm definitely noticing it.
Like when you lift your diaphragm and flex in your back?
I go like this?
Puff your lungs instead of your abdomen?
If I do this.
Fine.
Down here, it doesn't hurt. So it's like not my lungs or something.
It's probably just a muscle.
It's a muscle on the outside, right?
Yeah.
Logic. So
some kind of shoulder blade, one of those shoulder blade muscles.
Yeah, I messed something up over there. It was hard to go to sleep last night. I wonder if it had something to do with anything we did out there, too. Because, like, it was an intensely physical time. Well, one, because it was mega hot the whole time.
Mega hot. No breeze.
You Very know. Seldom breeze. We're talking 5% in the day was there a breeze.
Yeah, just still hot.
Still hot.
And
we rode our bikes.
We rode our bikes 6.5 miles.
Steep 6.5.
Ups and downs. Basically, it's uphill, though, the whole time. Almost.
Yeah, we spent like 37 minutes pedaling uphill and about 9 minutes going downhill. We
did a lot of swimming, too.
Yeah, a ton.
There's a lot of treading water, for sure. And we swam to that rock and back.
Yeah.
Which I think was probably a tenth of a mile.
Yeah, probably. So it was like 0.2 miles. So we probably swam 1/5 of a mile.
Because I was, yeah.
But we weren't like...
No, I think 10th total.
Oh, you think 10th total? Okay, yeah. So it says 10th total. I mean, like, I wasn't pushing that hard, but it was like a long time.
Because I was driving my truck and looking at the odometer, and, you know, it's like 0.1, 0.2. And I was like, yeah, it's probably about 1/10 of a mile distance there and back.
Okay, yeah.
Swimming to the rock and back. I mean, I haven't swam like that in a long time. Like just swimming in the water for like an hour, not touching the bottom.
Yeah. Probably the last time I did that was there last year.
Right, yeah.
Because like I've swam in between, but not, I mean, brief periods like where I'm going next week. I'm going to Dinky Creek, and this is a camping space in California. Big. It's cool.
Sounds huge.
There's a huge amount of creeks all over the place, but it's ice cold. So you jump in for like a couple minutes, and then you're good.
Yeah, creeks are cold.
Yeah, super cold.
Where is this, north?
This is south and east.
It sounds distorted.
Dinky Creek?
Check.
Mic check, giving it to me.
Dinky Creek.
Yeah, Dinky Creek.
Up north.
No, south.
South.
And east.
Southeast.
In California still. It's like at the Sierra, at the base of the Sierras.
Huh.
Yeah.
How wide is the creek?
Well, there's several creeks. There's like dozens of creeks.
Oh, okay.
And you hike all, it's like major
are
hiking.
Are they all dinky or are some of them sizable?
Most are pretty dinky. Couple have big pools. There's like a few like gem pools to swim in with like a big waterfall and stuff. And so you like, you know, jump in and splash. So
but it's
like
cold.
It's cold. So it's like seriously like 20 minutes is all I can take. I'm so sensitive to that. I'm so sensitive. I can admit that.
You need a bird bath.
Yeah, I need it to be warm. I like it warmer. Like at Shasta Lake, man. We got in. It was like, what was the temperature, do you think? Like 80 degree water? 85, maybe?
Yeah, probably like something around there.
Yeah.
75 to 85.
It's like slightly cooling. So you go in the shade in the water.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Just dip your head under every once in a while.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, that was fun.
I got a couple of things, but I you go, you do something.
Final Corp. It'll be fine.
Final Corp asks you, me, all our listeners, everyone. Final Corp. Needs help sliding mayonnaise onto food. If anyone can help in this endeavor, you can contact us. We're on iTunes. podcast for Empathy and Imagination. So thanks for listening, and thanks for helping us slide mayonnaise onto food. Enjoy. And we're back. Okay.
SlideMayonnaiseOntoFood.com.
I'm sure it's not taken. I'd be surprised.
Help us slide mayonnaise onto food.com. Slide.
Check it out. Yeah. Okay. Support our Patreon. Slide mayonnaise onto food.
Hey.
Things sound distorted.
Oh, I hear a buzz. I do hear it. I do hear the buzz.
That might just be the sound effect. So.
One day they'll be like, you guys, I can't believe you guys used an audio interface with microphones and cables and a pop filter. Don't you know? You just use air microphones now that fly in the air, and it's just perfect in space. And
microphone tongue?
Yeah.
Or like a lip ring that's a microphone.
Huh. That's a pretty cool idea. Plus, you look kind of rough.
You want to do the quiz?
Yeah. Okay.
Then maybe... Garden update.
And maybe garden update. Any other topics? Okay. So, we got a quiz song here. We're gonna sing it for you. Aubrey, you ready?
Quiz song.
Yeah. So I'm gonna start making the beat, and then you're gonna help me with the beat, and then I'll come up with some words.
Should we do that?
Fuck yeah, dude. That's why it's there. Let's do it. I'll scoot forward. It'll still work. We're rolling. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time to enjoy the beer of the afternoon, and that is the Lagunitas Equinox. It's pretty good. I really enjoy the different texture malts. Plus, it's very hoppy because it's from Lagunitas.
Mmm. Hoppy. Hoppy days.
Hoppy surprise.
There's got to be a beer out there called Hoppy Days.
Oh, it's got to be.
Hoppy go lucky.
Any hop word you can...
Any happy word is hop, right? Any phrase with happy in it has been hoppied. Is that what you're saying?
That makes me hoppy.
Yeah. Life, liberty... Pursuit of hoppiness.
Yeah, that's already four beer companies. Yep. Beer. Yeah.
Cheers, thanks, Jeff.
What do you think?
Here's to Reading Life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those that you know, those are my people, man.
Those are cool people, huh?
I may look like a hipster, but I'm really not.
You're more of a outdoorsman. Cause my family,
I'm much more those, I'm much more kin to those people. You know, saying those type of people sounds weird, but
I know. And if you're listening, it's all in love. So, how would we describe their difference from hipsters? How are they different?
Well, there's an authenticity, sort of a lack of irony, lack of comedic irony. I don't even know. It's not even irony anymore.
It kind of is, though. I think I know what you mean. Like they don't really do ironic jokes.
Yeah, like the clever irony.
They do like balls jokes.
In clothing and attitude and talking, I would say those things. Mm. Authenticity and not the kind of postured, clever irony that you sometimes see on t-shirts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like a picture of one band, but then underneath it says another band's name or something. You know. Or Bill Murray as Abraham Lincoln. You know, just everything's like a mashup with the hipster crowd. You know what I'm saying? Which can be cool, but anyway, that's a difference. That's one difference.
Okay.
Yeah, more kind of scatological humor.
Mean poop based?
Yeah. Mm. Poop and pee. Caca.
Yeah, we can't cuss on the air, Aubrey.
And pee pee. Poo poo and pee pee.
Poo-poo and pee-pee.
I don't know. What are some other differences? Different vehicle choices.
Yeah, there's a consistent difference in vehicle choice.
Different occupations, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. My brother's a contractor.
On average, different.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's different stuff to do there.
More blue collar than white collar.
More.
If we're talking about hipsters and Reading life.
Yeah, Reading life is different.
It's... Other groups have other things, identifiers.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like genres.
Mm-hmm.
Of literature, movies.
Mm-hmm.
Genre is useful because it gives you certain maybe expectations or context. For example, there's this writer, Samuel R. Delaney, who writes science fiction, I guess. He prefers to call it speculative fiction. Anyway, he said genre is useful because in a regular literature novel, he gave the example of one sentence. In a regular literature novel, if you read Her World Exploded, you immediately think, oh, well, that's just a metaphor. That's just a way of saying that she was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a science fiction novel, you could say Her World Exploded.
And you would think maybe the planet was destroyed.
And it actually has more meanings. More potential meanings than the normative literature version.
Interesting.
And I always thought that was cool. And that's kind of why genre is useful, I think.
Do you think that there are like cultural genres that are you could like...
I think so.
So like Reading Life, for example, is, you could say, its own genre.
Yeah.
What other
or saying, you know, saying hipster or saying redneck or saying, you know, frat boy.
Mm, those are kind of the genres.
They give you sort of clues. There maybe they're this just the side of stereotypes, but there's clues. And like,
okay.
Like frameworks.
What are some redneck frameworks?
And it's kind of like, oh, well, I know a little bit maybe about what to expect, but I'm sure there are variations within the genre itself.
What are some, like, say, redneck? What are some of those?
Oh, redneck stereotypes?
Yeah, stereotypes.
Well, I think we all know what the redneck stereotypes are. What is it? Mesh back hat? Truck, wife beater.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other ones?
What are some? Well, those are some of the appearances. What about their ideologies?
America, fuck yeah.
Probably Christianity.
Christianity. Hunting. Meat.
Mm-hmm. Republican?
Maybe rock, or sort of raucousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, general raucousness.
Getting rowdy. Another way of putting
wildcatting,
it.
Wildcatting, if you will.
Yeah, wildcatting.
People wildcat, it's okay.
So, yeah. Those are some genres. Cultural genres? Yeah.
Good answer.
Maybe that's our topic. Cultural genres.
Cultural genres. Welcome to the topics.
I guess they're useful, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could say those are stereotypes, though.
Right, that's
two.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's maybe a nuance there between genre and stereotype. Maybe a useful nuance there.
Oh, interesting.
So here's the useful nuances.
Useful nuance.
There's kind of the, like, dirt bag. Suburban dirt bag kid. Genre, too, maybe. Mm-hmm.
What's that one?
That's kind of where I grew up in Massachusetts, around a lot of people like that.
Like an unkempt but lives in a cul-de-sac young person?
Yeah, and, like, reckless. You know?
Reckless, yeah. Some crossover.
And, like, no scruples, really. Kind of. flimsy, you know, ethics, morals.
Mm-hmm.
But other kids, you know, just were nice dudes if you were on their good side. But they were just fighters, and they wanted to fight.
Hmm.
Like physically fight. You know, like that was their talent. There are a few dudes I knew who were like that. But I mean street fight, you know, not UFC or anything.
Hmm. Interesting.
Like these kind of bulldog kids.
Huh.
Who were scary. You didn't want to piss them off, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, there are a couple guys like that.
Interesting. Like they were good at fighting and they tried to get people to fight them so they could show that they were good at it?
Yeah, or that they had so much to prove and were so pissed off all the time that that was their mode of expression that they felt most comfortable in.
Hmm.
But that's who I grew up around. You know, it's like lower middle class suburbs. So I guess that's cultural genres for you.
Yeah, that's some cultural genres. But oh, I have one. Mariner folk. There's a cultural genre there. Like folks who either live on boats or spend a lot of their time on boats. Mm. There's some cultural genre there. It's like there's generally drinking.
Like at the marina?
Yeah, like at the Berkeley or Emeryville Marina.
you were kind of in that culture then for a while.
Yes.
There was a lot of drinking.
Drinking is pretty regular. There was kind of a general looseness, actually. Like there was, everyone was kind of like.
Like we're always on vacation because we're on a boat.
Maybe that's part of it. It's also sort of like very autonomous because you're not in like sharing an apartment building with walls with people. You are have your own independence. Totally.
Movable rooms.
Yeah. You can movable rooms. You can change. Everyone did several times. Mm. You would move where you were. So.
Right. Move within the. Did you not have designated mooring points?
We had designated mooring points that we paid for specifically. And we would change those over months, you know, periodically.
Just if a new one opened up or?
Or if people hated us and wanted us to move or something.
Never.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah. Try Nyalotep practice on a boat, well. You know. There was a small percentage of folks who weren't friendly to my artistic choices.
Right.
But most people were like, great. But the general kind of a theme of Mariner folk was there was this sort of self-independence plus a helpfulness. Like my neighbors would just help me with stuff. If I was working on the boat, I would say, hey, what would you do here? And they would like write it down.
Huh.
And tell me what brand to get and how to do it.
That's like a non-car vehicle trait.
Yeah.
Like other bikers, there's like a camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
Other motorcyclists, of course, you know.
Yeah, big time.
And I guess boaters, too.
Yeah. In the water, too. Seamen. Whenever one's driving a boat in the water, if you ever see a boat that's not under power or is in some way, it's the duty of the mariner to tow them. There's no other choice. Even if you're skiing, no.
Yeah.
And your ski party and you find a boat that's down, you tow them in. You pause your ski party. That's it.
It's the rule of the seas.
That's the rule of the
seas. In some ways, the rule of the sea is a little more generous.
Uh-huh. Than the rule of the cars? Woo.
Because they are just the rule of the land. Because it is kind of a frontier. You know? Kind of like the Wild West.
It's really wild, especially 200 miles out, right?
But they're sort of rules.
Mm-hmm.
Generally agreed upon rules. And etiquette. It's cool. I like that stuff.
Yeah.
To seastead.
Maybe that's your next move, man. Maybe your next move is like seasteading. Maybe that's this thing where you get a fucking boat. That's what you do. Dude. I don't
have money for that.
Dude, they're free. What are you talking about? Boats are free. All you do is pay rent. Yeah. They don't cost money.
Like a houseboat in Sausalito, like those houseboats?
No, like a sailboat in Emeryville or in Richmond. Probably Richmond. Emeryville or Richmond, sailboat. That's what I would do. Because you could find one that was floating and working that someone needs to get rid of. And it would probably be several hundred dollars. Beyond that, a 30-foot...
But 30, where do you put it?
You're going to put it at the Richmond Marina or the Emeryville Marina. That's where I would put it. Or it's already there.
But, I mean, that's... How much is that?
Your monthly What's your estimate? My estimate? Given inflation and, you know...
Mayonnaise limit.
Okay, how big a boat would you need? Okay, yeah, tell me. How many feet is minimum? The minimum it can be is something like...
5'6" 20 by 24 inches. It's a coffin.
That's an emergency
boat. I'm just going to have my arms crossed over my chest with a sword underneath.
That's how you'll
Eyes
sleep.
Closed. Yeah. Who's that Viking? Who's that ghostly figure?
It's just
that ghostly Frenchman cool. floating.
He's cool. He's got a cheaper...
Yeah, I put like white makeup on.
If you had a 29 or say 36 foot sailing boat that you got for nearly
29 free, probably would be sufficient, I think. Yeah,
29 would be sufficient.
Somewhere
because
in
like
that, right?
19 yeah. seriously is like
just too small.
It's a little too small.
What's your brother's?
His was like 14, 16, yeah. something like that. I really think to live on for one person, you need like at least like 25. That anything under 25 seems like torture.
At least 20. Mm. You're bigger than I am.
Yeah, maybe you could get
Drew's
away with
8 20. Feet tall. Yeah, I'm 3 feet tall.
I'm a gigantic ogre man, and Aubrey is tiny. We ride bikes together. It's fine. No one laughs.
I weigh 100 pounds.
If you could stand living on a 20-foot boat, Aubrey, your monthly rent would be like $400.
Just for
moorage.
Moorage. Yeah. Is that what they call it? Moorage?
I mean, they call it a slip. Your slip.
Your slip. I love jargon.
There's things about legality that make it challenging, but there's certain ways that I can help, if you're interested, to consider.
I haven't considered that. That's interesting.
Because you could do some
It's interesting to think about that.
Yeah. Well,
sailboat, I mean, fuck, I'd have to brush up on my sailing, my seamanship.
Well, I'd help you out.
Yeah.
I'd be there.
No, I know you would. It's just, you know, that's the thing. It's not a hard thing. It's actually kind of exciting.
I mean, like
$400.
You would spend some of your time working on the boat.
Oh, of course.
You'd have to. And some of your money have to go into maintenance too.
Maintenance.
Like you could make a budget for that. But your slip would be
$400 or $500. Yeah. Huh.
Maybe $600. But it's not gonna be no $1,400.
$1,450 for a studio?
No.
It's absurd.
One of the real hardest things is to get live aboard status because they only allow a certain percentage and there's usually a huge waiting list. Now that there's certain gray areas around that too because you have a van.
Right. So I could...
You could basically cross back and
work
forth.
Work the system.
Because 3 nights a week
Not
is...
Not that I ever would.
3 nights a week is legal to sleep even if you don't have live aboard status, right? Most places.
There you go.
Yeah. So...
I'm golden, if that's the case.
I mean, that's pretty much the case. Since you have your van and a hammock, dude, you could do that on the cheap.
Well, every weekend I'd be in my hammock camping somewhere.
Hopefully I can go with you.
So that leaves 5 days, 3 days on the boat. That leaves 2 days.
So you could van it 2 days a week?
And just then stay up all night.
And or,
two nights.
And or wait for live aboard status and then just get live aboard.
Right, exactly. While you're waiting for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting idea.
I like that idea. It seems like the hardest part would be finding someone willing to part with their boat for cheap.
Welcome.
Am I totally naive on that?
Totally naive on that.
How can that be?
Because people don't want to pay for it. They lose interest. They fall or repair. Like the shit's broken.
Because
or
just like your boat, right? You just wanted to get rid of it.
Just want to get rid of it.
way below market value. Just take it off my hands.
And pennies on the dollar.
A lot of people in that situation?
Yes.
Huh. Huh. Well, that's kind of encouraging. It's where also, do you go to look for that?
There's like, there, dude, there's like auctions. There's all kinds of stuff to get ways to get boats for cheap, dude.
For example, I mean, Craigslist.
Okay. Craigslist. Okay. Boatfinder.com.
Boatfinder. There we
auctions.
Go.
Every single marina.
Boatfinder.
Boatfinder. And
is there a mayonnaise finder?
There has to be. Every single marina in the Bay Area, which I could send you a list,
has a mayonnaise.
Has an auction for mayonnaise.
Oh, good. If I'm in a pinch, I really want to slide some mayonnaise on the food. Where do I go?
Berkeley Marina.
Mayonnaisemarina.com.
Mayonnaisemarina.com.
Emeryville or Richmond?
I'd advocate those two first.
You're against then, the Berkeley one?
Uh-huh.
Because you've had experience there.
Well, they're not going to... I mean,
is
if you're
too foofy?
Gonna, is it? No, it's the bureaucracy is like, it's like a diamond of bureaucracy there.
Well, that makes sense. It's probably entrenched like baby boomers or something.
There's a good healthy amount of baby boomers. Good guess. And there's a bunch of dudes our age making it work.
I mean, what's the stodgy element?
What do you mean? What sucks about it? Showers.
No, I mean, who is filibustering change?
Who's filibustering?
I mean, who's preventing change? Who is against change?
The city.
Oh, okay.
The city is...
Whereas Emeryville and Richmond are a little more flexible.
I'd almost go with you to the Emeryville one. So, hey, remember me? It went well. This is my buddy. He wants to sign up. I'm part owner of the boat, and we're going to... Something. That might even be cool, because he knows me, and he's cool.
I'm the undersigner.
Yeah, you're the oversigner. You're the oversigner. I'll just be like the side... You're your sidekick on the project, right? And that could work. I mean, that sounds exciting. That sounds like some... That sounds cool. You know?
That does sound cool. Interesting possibility.
We could explore that.
It's just hearing all your horror stories about living on a boat has made me not even consider that option. I just figured like, oh, it's just shitty because the technology's not there yet and blah, 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 blah.
But all of my whining and complaining would be good to bring me with you. If you got to the point where you were going to look at a couple boats, bring me with you.
Oh, of course.
That's what would happen.
Bring the guy with the knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go check it out. And, I mean, it could be like engine doesn't work, right? It could be like the sail thing is dead. It's just dead.
Right. Needs new
sails. Needs new sails. Or like engine doesn't work. Or like you can't steer it. There's no rudder. Or like could be something weird like that.
Yeah. Engine seized up.
But you can live while you're fucking tinkering.
It's true. That is true. As long as you're buoyant. As long as you're floating.
That's why you wouldn't get a wooden boat, Aubrey. You'd get a fiberglass or aluminum boat. Fuck wooden boats. I had a wooden boat for 3.5 years.
Mahogany.
It was serious, hardcore craziness.
Wooden hull.
Wooden everything.
But steel's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you looking at one that was like fucking 60-foot steel?
My boat was a 60-foot steel. I was looking at a 139-foot steel ship.
Did you have a wooden hull, though?
Uh-huh.
Everything else was steel, though?
On my boat?
Yeah.
My boat was all wood.
Oh, okay.
I looked at...
You looked at...
A boat that was over 100 feet and was all steel...
Yeah, I remember.
Had two laboratories, five bedrooms, a main kitchen.
Laboratory.
It was like, fucking what?
Laboratories would be so cool, man. Because there'd be power, but there'd also be a gas hookup, probably.
Mm-hmm. It's probably very sterilized.
It's probably a drain, too.
Mm-hmm.
So tiled great, drain.
Floor. Great for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Growing mushrooms. Growing.
Man, that'd be so cool.
To have marijuana.
Basically a chemistry lab.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have heat, if you have a pump and heat, Hot tub? Mean, not heat, gas.
Mm-hmm.
If you have gas and like an air pump and electricity,
you can make
all the good. Rest is just accoutrements you have to get. You know? Living on a sailboat.
Which could work. Which leads me to the next segment of the show, which is, it's quiz time.
Quiz time! Yeah.
Okay, so
Quiz time.
Quiz time. Time for quiz. So, Aubrey, this quiz is where should you live? That's what the quiz is for today. And I think it's right on topic. So,
I thought that was the first question.
No. This is a where should you live quiz.
Huh.
Okay. Right. Question number one.
Give it to me.
Of 10. What's your ideal Saturday afternoon? There's four options here. Shopping spree. Taking off for an afternoon run. Enjoying Mother Nature. Or having a barbecue with friends and family.
Three.
Enjoying Mother Nature?
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
It's correct.
Where's dinner? Is it... There's a bunch of here, so just listen up. Is it local hole-in-the-wall cafe? Is it home-cooked meal? Fast food joint? Five-star gourmet? Fish taco stand? Nearest steakhouse?
Home-cooked meal.
Home-cooked meal. That is also correct. Which TV show do you most watch? Is it, of course, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Gossip Girl, Duck Dynasty, Parks and Recreation, Mad Men? Have to pick one.
Have to pick one.
Have to pick one.
Mad Men.
Sorry, that is incorrect. Pick a dog breed. Chihuahua?
Wait, that's the question?
Yeah.
Oh, it's... All right.
Pick one of these, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Chihuahua. Labrador. Australian Shepherd. Golden Retriever. Doberman. Cats rule, dogs drool.
Australian Shepherd.
That is correct. What's your typical car pick? So, like, when you're thinking about buying a new truck, as you say, what's your car? Is it
automobile?
Is it off-road 4x4, luxury sedan, convertible, SUV? I prefer my legs.
The first one,
4x4. Good call. That is correct. Number six. What do you like about your baseball? How do you like your baseball? Turn it up.
Round.
Okay. Number six.
Spherical. No, what's the question?
How do you like your baseball? Is it on the big screen? No sports for me. Going to a live game, playing in the field.
Going to a live game.
Passable.
If I'm gonna subject myself to sports, just go to the game.
Wouldn't you rather play it though than that?
Well, baseball, not specifically. Yeah. I'm not very good at baseball.
Okay.
If it was basketball, yeah.
Right.
And basically any other sport, yes. Just not baseball.
Okay. All right. Who would you like to have dinner with? Kate Middleton. Jack Johnson, Bear Grylls, Tina Fey, Ellen DeGeneres.
Tina Fey.
Passable. Okay, choose a drink. Red wine. Soda. ACI smoothie. Coffee. Or sweet tea.
Red wine.
Red wine, that's correct. Name your biggest fear. Big crowds, panhandlers, being alone, sharks, heights.
Sharks. I mean, out of those. It's not my that biggest is correct. Fear. Out of those fears, yeah. That would be the one I'm the least afraid of.
You find a $100 bill, so you buy your groceries, hit the club, get a new pair of sunglasses, blow your nose with it, go out to dinner.
What was the second one?
Hit the club, or the Miz, I guess you'd say.
I'd probably go out to dinner.
Go to dinner, passable. Okay, wow. The result's in. You ready to hear this?
Mm-hmm.
Suburbia. That is where the quiz thinks you should live.
Cool. I get the outdoors. Quiet, I get red wine.
Mm-hmm. Quiet, friendly, and away from the hustle and bustle of the big city. Suburbia lends itself to a mainstream life of consistency, weekend barbecues, and friendly neighborhoods. Suburbia. That's what it thinks you want.
Yeah, it's like suburbia, rural, city. Cool. Well, I hope to one day aspire to live in suburbia.
Bonus quiz.
Bonus quiz.
Bonus quiz.
It's time for bonus quiz.
You thought it was just one quiz, but it's two. We get two quizzes. Do you have your quizzes too? Hey.
You lost the earlier quiz. And now you get to succeed at failing the next quiz. Welcome. Quiz time.
Double quiz. So this quiz is about what kind of hot tub do you need? Do you want? What kind of hot tub do you want?
What kind of hot tub do I want?
Yeah. What's the best hot tub for you according to your personality? Question number one. How do you prefer to spend your free time? Is it, I love to spend my free time with family or friends. Always moving. I prefer workouts, sports, or outdoor adventures. Free time. Is this question a cruel joke? I don't have free time. I prefer to escape to a quiet place with a good book. I like to get my hands dirty in the garden with our home improvement projects.
Good book.
Good book. That's correct for you. There you go. If you were stranded on a desert island, what's the one thing you would have with you? I take edible plants, the guide to edible plants of the world to be safe. I would have to have someone, something to talk to, maybe volleyball. I need my smartphone and Wi-Fi. What kind of cruel place is this? I would just be fine with my yoga mat, fruit, and water. Give me a hatchet and a sharp knife, I'll make a raft.
Well, 2 and 4 seem the most appealing. Two.
Two. That's correct.
Hopefully of the feminine persuasion.
Which Star Wars character is most like you? Han Solo, I get things done my way. Princess Leia, I get things done intelligently. Yoda, I'm pretty old, but now all things I do. Wicket, Ewok.
Wicket,
yeah, I'm a cute and cuddly thing.
Han Solo.
Jar Jar Binks, I obviously don't know anything about Star Wars characters.
Han Solo,
that's correct. What is your favorite type of movie? I love feel-good romantic comedies. I like movies based on true stories. I want to learn things. Documentaries. I like epic dramas. I prefer a lot of action.
What was the first one?
I love feel-good romantic comedies. That was a good voice for that, I think.
I guess 5. Action.
Action.
Out of choices, you know.
Passable. Okay. Which activity would you prefer on a day out? I would visit a museum or an art gallery. I would go to the zoo with family. I would try out the newest trendy restaurant in town. Scenic spot to relax in the outdoors, or a zip line course with friends?
4.
Scenic spot to relax in the outdoors? Mm-hmm.
Or either 4 or 1.
4 or 1, got it. All right.
Out of the meager options.
Which is most likely to be your spirit animal? Dolphin, butterfly, elk, bear, falcon.
Dolphin.
Correct answer. What's your favorite season? Is it football, spring,
death,
autumn, winter, summer?
Spring. That's correct.
If you had unlimited funds, which of these places would you go on vacation? I wouldn't have time to take a vacation. An incredible tropical resort in the South Pacific. Disney World, Mars, historical sites of Europe.
Mars,
that's the correct answer. If money weren't an issue, which of these would be your dream job? Rock star, artist, nurse, pilot, video game tester.
Artist,
that's correct. If you could have a superpower, which one would you want? Invisibility, time manipulation, I'm good with being me, no thank you, mind reading, flying. That is correct.
By
wicked far. Which is your preferred way to stay active? Group sports. Basketball, soccer, walking, yoga, cycling, hiking or running or swimming.
Cycling.
Competitive eating. Cycling. That is the eating. Correct. Correct.
Cycling. Keep in shape by competitively eating.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Hard work to chew on that. Which famous celebrity would you most like to spend time with? Benedict Cumberbatch, Rihanna, Cary Grant, Jimmy Fallon, Audrey Hepburn.
Cary Grant,
that's the correct answer. If you're singing along to a song, which artist is most likely to be singing it? Adele, Faith Hill, Journey, Bono, Frank Sinatra.
Journey.
Good call. That is correct.
Bono. Definitely not Bono.
That's for dude, sure. Bono's
the bottom of that list.
I'm sorry, Bono. I don't like it. Your preferred?
Bono, yeah.
What's your preferred social network? YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Facebook.
I thought that one was going to be like real life, and I was going to say real life. I guess Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah, wrong.
Wrong answer. If you had inherited $100 million, what would you be most likely to do? Travel to all the places I've always wanted to see. Go on a wild shopping spree. Invest $100 million. Donate to charity. Pay my bills, but not change much.
Invest.
You would invest $100 million?
Yeah.
That is the wrong answer.
It's the correct answer.
That is the wrong answer. If you have $100 million, you don't need any more money than that. You can just rock the fuck out to Mars.
Well, yeah, but
that.
I mean, I would establish something. It would be like the Nobel Prize or some kind of thing.
There you go. All right. That's correct.
I guess that would be charity, technically.
Which holiday do you enjoy the most? Halloween. Doesn't matter, I'm probably working that day. Valentine's Day. Thanksgiving. Christmas, Hanukkah. Kwanzaa.
Halloween.
That's correct. at a social gathering, which sounds most like you? I'm chatting about something interesting with one or two close friends. I'm helping to introduce my friends to other people I know here. I'm telling a story about what happened to me earlier in the day. I don't want to be here, but I'll smile and talk to a few people I know. I'm bouncing around trying to meet everyone I can.
Two.
That's just fine. Oh, two more questions. Final two questions. Getting out really,
Final corp.
Here it comes.
Final two.
What sounds the most relaxing to you? Spending time in the garden? Going for a light run? Quiet time with family or friends? A vigorous massage? Meditation?
Out of the meager options with which I'm presented, time in the garden.
Oh, that's correct. What color are you most likely to decorate with? Final question.
Final corp.
I'm likely to go with whatever is most affordable.
What color am I? What?
What color are you most likely to decorate with? I'm likely to go with whatever is the most affordable. I like bold colors and patterns, cool blues and grays, neutral earth tones, black and white.
Earth tones,
correct.
Thanks for the quiz.
You're a bit of a romantic at heart with a quiet old soul. You're inclined to appreciate your quality time as well as a quality time spent with those that are close to you.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Looks like I had myself right all along.
You should also get this kind of hot tub, it says.
It's like a personal...
A5L Sapphire/Driftwood.
Huh.
That's for you.
Cool.
Yeah, good job.
Thanks for the hot tub personality quiz.
And suburbia, too. Good. Remember, you're...
Suburbia. I'm a romantic in suburbia.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So both said you were romantic.
There are worse things.
Mm-hmm. Both said that you were romantic. So that's cool.
Yeah. I guess that's cool.
Huh.
The genre. Cultural genre.
Romantic.
You are this.
And we're back.
Okay.
Well, folks.
Maybe it's story time.
Ooh.
Bedtime story. I was scheduled to worry from 9 until 10. It was only an hour's shift, so that wasn't bad. But still, it was a whole hour of worrying. I mean, geez. When I approached Mr. Master to see if I could get a postponement of my monthly worry, he said he was sorry, but they've been making too many exceptions in the past few months, and that they had to draw the line somewhere. So I was stuck with an hour's worth of worry that I didn't really want. I knew it wouldn't be unpleasant, but I decided not to worry about it. Not that I could worry about it, at least not yet. When I met my buddy Fred at the local pub after work, he said he'd been assigned to a crying gig. Crying? Yeah. Over what? Spilled milk. Interesting. It was interesting. He went on to provide more detail. The local creamery periodically tests the bottles they use to deliver milk in. They had to stress test their containers, and so invariably milk would be spilled. That was fine in and of itself, but the creamery had partnered with a mediation group who was interested in helping people to get in touch with their emotions. So they held out-group get-togethers, where the people in the mediation group would observe people in moments of emotional intensity. Thus, they were to observe Fred crying, while the creamery would thank him for his attention to the milk having been spilled. "So you have to really cry?" I said. "Yeah. I mean, it has to be convincing?" "Yeah." "How are you going to do it?" I asked. He pulled a sheaf of photographs from a folder laying on the bar in front of him. They showed containers of milk in various contexts and various forms. cartons, jugs, glasses, cups, gallons, liters, all full of milk. These are the preliminaries, Fred said. I'm supposed to study these for a while, then move on to these. He drew out more photos. Action shots of milk mid-spill. A glass mid-shatter, a carton overturned, the milk pouring from it in a blur. A half pint frozen at the moment of impact with a baseball bat. A white explosion of liquid. Interesting, I grunted. Then these, more pictures, these of people's faces, some crying, some laughing, some expressionless. They said that the photos, when studied properly, with the proper amount of attention lasting the proper amount of time, should lead to a kind of emotional gestalt in the viewer. That's you? I asked. That's me. A kind of emotional gestalt that would enable me to tap into my own feelings and therefore channel my own blah, blah, blah. Do you think it will work? I don't know. Are you scheduled to not know? No. This is a personal I don't know. Oh. I looked at the time, realized I had to get going. There were things I was planning on worrying about that weren't on my worry itinerary.
Oh, I like that. Oh, that was a good story. I laughed. That's good. I like that's good dystopian image. Like, do you have worry? I have to go worry for an hour. You have to cry. Well, why are you crying? Well, it's spilled milk, you know. So there's like an elaborate spilled milk story. I like it.
Well, thank you, Drew.
You're welcome.
For cheering me up and hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for all the listeners.
Thanks, listeners. And I'd like to acknowledge you all for taking the time to listen to us. Please, comment, share, like, send us questions, answer the question of the week, and don't make sure to visit empathyandimagination.com. I got it. Here we go. Oh, shit.
Player by next episode, but I asked around, I can't find anything.